This weekend, we'll talk with Dr. Calvin Beisner of the Cornwall Alliance about the climate change movement and the departure from traditional science.
People are saying, look, it just doesn't matter that the models are overprojecting. Eventually, it's going to come to bite us. And there, I think what they've done is they've just abandoned scientific method completely, and they've gone instead to fear.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. And this week is almost over. We got today and tomorrow. Tomorrow is Trivia Friday during this time slot. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Good morning to you, Fred.
Hello there, Ed.
And Dr. Alex McFarland. Alex, welcome to you.
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, Alex, by the way, you have done a phenomenal job this week. I'm just saying it right off the top. I was thinking about that this morning as I was getting ready for work and going over my mind, you know, the course of my day, including this show. And I was just thinking, Alex has just knocked it out of the park all week. So,
hey, man,
good on you, brother.
I'm just honored to be a fly on the wall listening and learning from you guys.
A fly on the wall. Anyway, Tony Vitagliano, one of our vice presidents and number one son. For those of you who know who Charlie Chan is, that was way back in the 30s. Good morning to you, Tony.
Yeah, good morning. Good to be back.
And all right, so we got reinforcements are coming back in next week. Walker will be back in, Wesley, Tim, and Steve Jordahl, I think, will be back. So regular teams will be on the field, so to speak. But I've enjoyed this week. It's been good, good crew around me this week. All right, Fred, what starts off the news day today? I'll tell you what, let's do something about money.
Let's do something about money. Everybody likes to talk about money.
Yeah.
Well, the Federal Reserve made good on its promise yesterday, but the degree in which it lowered that benchmark interest rate kind of shocked a lot of people. A lot of people thought it was going to be about a quarter point, but it was a full half point that it dropped. That is extremely unusual, mostly done at times of great economic peril, i.e. like the pandemic. But it went much lower than what was expected. And the head of the Federal Reserve is very interesting. And his name is Jerome Powell, by the way. And you probably have seen him on dealing with TV stories on the Federal Reserve, etc. But he had some interesting remarks to make as to what is going on economically in this country and what is key to the economic problems. And this may surprise you. Cut number one.
On the job creation, it depends on the inflows, right? So if you're having millions of people come into the labor force then and you're creating 100,000 jobs, you're going to see unemployment go up. So it really depends on what's the trend underlying the volatility of people coming into the country. We understand there's been quite an influx across the borders, and that has actually been one of the things that's allowed unemployment rate to rise.
All right. That's really interesting. You know, a lot of people speculating, well, of course, it's now down to 2.5%. So the economy is just going to go boom, 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 and there's going to be job demands and all that sort of thing. But it almost seemed to me like Jerome Powell was saying, okay, let's step back just a second. And he didn't give us the numbers, but we know crossing the border illegally, what we know of the official numbers around 8 million. Many people think it's 15 to 20 million
right.
Since Joe Biden became president. So with that number of people coming in, there is great concern. And we're going to talk a little bit about union endorsements in just a few moments.
Right.
But that's one thing that unions in this country are very concerned about, this influx of people coming in, taking jobs away from people. And what Jerome Powell was saying, that's going to keep the unemployment rate up, folks. be aware of that, because there's only so many jobs in the job pot out there. And when you introduce millions of more people looking for work, you're going to have problems.
Yeah, we've had a number of interconnected economic problems during the Biden administration. Inflation has been one of those, right? Unemployment, wages not keeping up with inflation. And it's interesting that what Powell is saying, now I read a little bit about the decision of the Federal Reserve to go big, go large in terms of the interest rate cut. And from what I read, the Federal Reserve and other economic experts believe that cutting the rate, which ordinarily increases the amount of money in the economy that's available, start businesses, so on and so forth, they think it would probably be balanced. It would not run the risk of setting off further inflation.
Yeah.
Okay. However, I think the reason why Powell is making this statement, which, to your point, Fred, is kind of surprising given that he's a part of the Biden administration, and the Biden administration's policies on the border have been what's caused this influx of illegal immigrants. I think he's trying to dampen the expectations that this is going to cause the economy to go boom, or at least to start to improve, because ordinarily the money goes out, businesses start, people want to increase the number of the labor supply in their business. We're going to hire a few extra people. But the problem with all these illegal immigrants is not only are they competing for the static number of jobs available, but they depress wages.
Yes.
Because if you have a large labor pool, far more than are needed for the jobs that are created, you don't have to pay people a lot of money to get those positions filled. So, Alex, it's probably a terrible economic explanation. I'm not economically savvy. I do know those kind of basic principles. It seems to me like Federal Reserve Chairman Powell is trying to dampen expectations and, surprisingly, in parentheses, blaming the Biden administration for the fact that this rate cut might not have the expected benefit.
Yeah. You know, sometimes on election years, they'll talk about like an October surprise or something like that, something that an administration does to try to get a better chance of winning an election. Now, remember, Kamala Harris has been in the press repeatedly. VP Kamala Harris has been on record saying, quote, Bidenomics is working. But let me just say this, and I saw this probably 2 weeks ago. Economists talk about hard goods and big ticket items. Now, a big ticket item for a consumer would be something like a car or even appliances. You know, they're not cheap. Those things are expensive. Home sales and home starts are also big ticket items. But for businesses, there's machinery, vehicles, bulldozers, you know, things like that. Here's the bottom line. Those things, expensive items for commercial entities or for individual consumers, it's been flat all throughout 2024. And let me just say this, guys. You probably know I'm a car nerd. I'm like super into cars. Like on average, a car will, from arriving at a dealership to being sold, 60 days or less. That's just always been kind of the benchmark. Right now, cars are sometimes sitting at dealer lots 120 days before being turned over. Mm-hmm. And any business will tell you what you want to do. You want to turn over your inventory. Now, EVs, this is wild. Ford created an EV that has sat so long unsold, dealers have to move it to mow the grass that grows underneath these things.
Wow.
The Mach-E, the very... I mean, it's a tragedy. I'm getting off.
You're telling the truth there, that they have to move, making a joke?
The Mustang Mach-E, which is not a Mustang, it's like this little SUV that's electric. I was talking to a Ford dealer last week, because I was actually looking at a car, not an EV, but the Ford dealer was lamenting. He said, nobody wants these things. You can't give them away, but Ford makes us take these EVs. We have to move them to cut the grass that grows underneath them. My point is this. The economy is very stale right now. And I think I'm not an economist, but watch this. By mid-November, the economy will exponentially improve or exponentially get worse as the market reacts to who the elected next president is going to be.
Tony, I think it's if the Biden administration, and of course we're talking about Kamala Harris because she's now the nominee after they deep sixed Joe Biden. If the Biden administration, Biden-Harris administration is hoping for, we're talking about October surprise, it's what Alex mentioned, that is usually one of the things you have to deal with in an election year, presidential election year especially. If they're hoping for a big bump, I gotta think it's not coming. In fact, it might increase inflation. I'm sure the Federal Reserve is hoping it doesn't, but I don't think it's going to improve unemployment numbers. They just recently had to downgrade their job numbers for the previous quarter. And to Alex's point, their mania, their environmental mania is going to worsen the economy, as we heard from Alex, with regards to automobile sales and so on and so forth. I don't see how they dig themselves out of the economic mess they put them in, hoping for an October surprise. It may be, like Alex said, it might be the opposite.
Yeah, this cut looks like it's nothing but political to me.
Mm-hmm.
The odds from the market, what everybody was kind of baking in was 25 basis points, but a 50, a whole half point is purely political. And I think there's a couple of angles that you could look at or a few points you could read into Powell's speech. So, like I said, this is purely political. I think he was under tremendous pressure to cut and to do a big cut because the Biden administration, and like you said, vis-a-vis the Harris administration, thinks that will give the economy a boost. But so I think he gave them their wish, right? I'm going to give you a half a point. But then turn around and say this isn't really, basically saying this isn't really going to help. Because he also mentions that the interest rate is a reason for the housing, for instance, housing being up so much and their, you know, the housing market being down, I should say. Mm-hmm. Then he said the second reason that housing is so high is because we let 25 million illegal aliens to compete against Americans for housing. So there's kind of this, I don't know. I read into it like I'm doing this because politically I have to, but I don't think Powell even believes it. I mean, the reason why we kept interest rates up so high over the last 4 years is to bring down inflation, right? He was trying to help the Biden administration, trying to bring down the cost of living for Americans, and it didn't work. So now what the ace in the hole that the Biden administration thinks they have is okay, if we lower interest rates, you know, people might be able to afford a house now, and maybe that'll help us in November. I don't think that's going to be the case. As a matter of fact, I think what you're probably going to see is an increase in pricing now, because what's going to happen to demand once the interest rates come down, once people can get a house at a lower interest rate? Well, the prices of houses are just going to go back up.
That's a good point, because that's the way it works, supply and demand.
Yeah.
More people are going to – if what Powell's hoping for with this big rate cut sends people running to the housing market to buy,
right,
then that will drive up the prices.
Fred,
guys,
what do you think – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
I was going to say, regarding houses, I just read a stat. Okay, get this. There are 40% more homes on the market – than there were a year ago this time.
Mm-hmm.
Houses are sitting unsold. They're on the market longer and longer. People aren't buying. Part of it is, I think, uncertainty about how this the fallout of this election yay or nay, but the fact that there's 40% more homes sitting unsold than there were a year ago tells me this economy is slowing down. It's not growing. It's going back.
And people have been warning about a potential housing bubble. So, you know, if you're thinking of buying a house, if you're paying attention to what's going on, and Fred, I'm going to pitch it to you here in just a second so you don't fall asleep over there. But if you've been paying attention, you're going, well, I don't know if I want to spend $500,000 on a home. If the housing market crashes, I'm going to be upside down.
Exactly.
And, so, but to Tony's point, Fred, we saw this very argument playing out, this very scenario playing out in all the discussion about Springfield, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Okay, and everyone's had fun with their eating dogs and their eating cats. Although I'm still not convinced that that's not happening. Okay, but set all that stuff aside. One of the things that people were complaining about in Springfield is housing.
Yes,
right. 20,000 people have moved there over the last 4 or 5 years. When that happens, you can't find rental property that's affordable. You can't buy a house. There aren't enough houses available. I mean, this is a very real, devastating problem for the American people caused by the Biden administration's policies on the border.
You mentioned Springfield. Vivek Ramaswamy is there tonight to do a town hall on this. Saw an interview with somebody from there this morning making the point that you're just talking about. Much has been made by the Democrats and the mainstream media about the eating the dogs and the cats and all that sort of thing. But the problems, this lady was saying, are real. We're talking about social programs trying to feed those who are in a difficult situation right now economically. Schools, what are we going to do with folks who cannot speak English?
Right.
Local doctor's offices crowded, hospital emergency rooms, all of this sort of thing. Those are real. You'll not hear Kamala Harris and the Democrats and the mainstream media talk about those things.
Right.
But that's what the locals are upset about, is that the strain that this is being put on. And so Springfield, Ohio is just one example. This is happening in spades. And we've done these stories over the last year and a half, New York and Chicago. These are Democrats that are coming forward and complaining. Remember the lady in Chicago?
Right.
Talking about you shut down our schools because you didn't have any money. And now you're opening these schools up to provide housing for these people that are coming in.
Yeah.
So this I think there's a whole layer underneath in this election campaign. And it leads us to this other story with regards to the Teamsters Union. This is all connected, folks. Mm-hmm. The Teamsters Union, it's a huge union. Since 1996, they have been endorsing one candidate or the other. Since 2000, they have been endorsing the Democrat presidential candidate. Yesterday, they announced, we're not endorsing anybody this year. Now, again, that story, you're seeing that headline this morning. But the underlying story in all of this is that these unions are polling their members. We're talking about the grassroots here. In the case of the Teamsters, 60% of the Teamsters members are saying, we're voting for Trump. Why are you voting for Trump? Border crisis. They understand these millions coming into the country are taking jobs away from their people.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, this is what it's all about. Just before coming into the studio, now the United Auto Workers, their officials are endorsing Kamala Harris. But again, you drop down below the leadership of these unions, and heard an interview with one of these UAW people. He says he goes around to these auto plants in Michigan. Overwhelmingly, according to him, overwhelmingly, the members of the UAW are supporting Donald Trump. The reason being is that, and he stated this, Kamala Harris's climate change agenda, she wants everybody in electric cars.
Right.
And he says, you know what, folks? These cars, we can't produce them with current union contracts, an electric vehicle that people are going to be able to afford.
Right.
So here's his prediction. He says the electric vehicles, in order to abide by what Kamala Harris wants to do, what is it, by 2035, by 2035, which isn't that far away anymore.
2035, that's really far away.
Yeah, that's really far away. 2035. He says, you know what's going to happen here in the United States? In order to get affordable electric vehicles, we're going to be buying from China. What does that mean for auto workers?
And you know what, Alex? That has been the problem since Bill Clinton, okay? Yeah. I remember Ross Perot talking about NAFTA. And I'm not just going to point to Democrats here. George Bush, some of these others, they all joined in, gave China most favored trade status. All these kinds of things have hit American workers in the gut. And this is the problem when you push for the percentage of electric vehicles on the road to be X, Y, or Z by this year, this year, and this year. Fred's exactly right, and these critics of the Biden administration are exactly right. The only way to make these vehicles affordable is to use cheap slave labor. And that means more American workers can't make a decent wage making vehicles that are sold in the United States.
We could do an entire show on the what is indicated by American car usage and car purchases. But, you know, here's the thing. Whether it's automobiles, whether it's gas stoves versus electric or induction, look, when the government artificially inserts itself into the free market economy, bad things happen. Let me just say this for a second. We all know there was this big housing bubble and a subprime mortgage crisis of 2008. But I want to say this. If you go back to 2005, okay, George W. Bush, and by the way, I blame the recession of 2008 on Obama policies to a large degree. But I want to tell you something that happened, and it does relate to what we're talking about here, folks. Bush lost the election in 2005. He's going to go out, and Obama is the winner and is going to be inaugurated. In the November before W exited the presidency, I'll never forget, he pumped a bunch of money into the banks to artificially get people approved for mortgages they couldn't afford. And I'll never forget, I was watching the news and George W. Bush said, sometimes, this is a quote, he said, sometimes the government can't wait for the market to correct itself. And my heart sank and I said, that is not a fiscal conservative.
Right.
Now here's the point. CAFE standards are a corporate average fuel economy, and repeatedly, not only the federal government, but states like California have mandated that auto manufacturers do things to raise their CAFE standards. Now, a lot of people don't realize this, but like companies like, companies will make a car that they know they're not going to sell, and I'll give you a case in point. Dodge recently made a car called a Dart. Nobody's buying it. It's a little throwaway, cheap car, but they're making just enough of this to qualify as a production run, and it gets like 47 miles to the gallon, they say. Now, nobody's buying it, and they're losing money, but they did it simply to meet an arbitrarily, federally mandated CAFE standard to get their gas mileage averages up. And here's my point. This thing to say that there can be no internal combustion vehicles sold in California by 2030, or there have to be X amount of EVs. It's the ultimate person who pays is the consumer, folks. It's bad government.
And to the point Fred was making with these unions, the union members understand they're going to pay a price too the production side. Listen, I've mentioned this before. The car I drive, I had the mechanic was working on something. He said, and something broke. And I said, well, what's the problem? He said, well, it's made out of plastic. And I said, plastic? And he said, yeah, these companies, car companies, start using cheaper parts to get the weight of the car down so the gas mileage goes up. It's crazy, folks. Hey, Sandy Rios, in just a few minutes.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems' VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chance at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined by Fred Jackson, Dr. Alex McFarland, and Tony Vitagliano. And we want to welcome Sandy Rios, host of the Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast. You can find at AFR.net. We have a, if you go to that website, AFR.net, we have a drop-down menu for podcasts, and you can listen to a lot of Sandy Rios. You can get your Sandy Rios fix, and that's what we're getting right now. Welcome back to the program, Sandy.
Oh, you're so funny. Hello, Ed. Hey. How are you this morning, hey. Everybody? The crew?
Yeah. Good morning.
It's fun. It was fun seeing you guys last week in Tupelo.
Yes.
In Tripelo.
Yes. And Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast. That means it's available 24/7, or you're talking 24/7. How does that work out?
Ask Bruce. No, I'm not. Yes, it's available 24/7.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Fred, why don't you? Who knows what we may wind up talking to Sandy about? But there was something we wanted to start off with.
Yeah, Sandy, there appears to be growing frustration, and this is bipartisan, amongst those committee members investigating what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania. And one of the members of the committee, one of the investigators, is not who's speaking out, is not Republican. He's Senator Richard Blumenthal, who's the Democrat senator from Connecticut. He's also the chairman of the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations within the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. I want you to have a listen to what he has to say about his frustration with his own Biden administration government with trying to get documents so they can figure out what went wrong there in Butler, Pennsylvania, with the attempted assassination against former President Trump. Cut number 11.
I am reaching the point of total outrage because the response from the Department of Homeland Security has been totally lacking. In fact, I think it's tantamount to stonewalling in many respects. If necessary, I'll certainly support a subpoena.
Stonewalling. He's talking about his own administration. He's talking about a Homeland Security that is run by Democrat Alejandro Mayorkas. Sandy, I smell a rat.
Oh, well, you know, the amazing thing is that he smells a rat. I mean, I never thought Senator Blumenthal would ever come out and say something like that. You know, so hats off to him. You know, hats off to his honesty. I mean, I think anybody who's intellectually honest knows that something is really, really wrong here. Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri, just came out with a report you know, several, a few weeks ago, like I think a week ago, or maybe it was Monday of this week. I'm sorry. My days are all mixed up. I've been traveling. I can't even remember where I am. Where am I? But Senator Hawley came out with a report that was pretty, pretty damning. And, you know, one of the things that he points out, that even when President Trump was taken to the hospital in Butler, that he didn't have good security. And that the agent in charge of that didn't even know, was completely unaware about what was going on. So even in the hospital, he was not safe. This is outrageous. This is outrageous. And just to be clear, you mentioned this, but Homeland Security under Mayorkas, Alejandro Mayorkas, is over the Secret Service. Is over the Secret Service. I don't know how that happened. They used to be in part of Treasury. But we don't have to have it spelled out for us that Alejandro Mayorkas is not a friend to this president, nor is he a friend to this country. And I would also, well, I can morph to something else. I'll just mention this, and then if you want to talk about it, we can. I was at a film festival down in Greenville, Texas, and I saw 12 movies, which were stunning. And one of them was about how Homeland Security under Alejandro Mayorkas and also the Xavier Becerra and even some of the Border Patrol are colluding, I will say colluding, to traffic the hundreds of thousands of children now that are being trafficked into the U.S., that the cartels have actually kind of backed off on smuggling drugs in because it's smuggling babies and children where the money is. And even the line was drawn to Jill Biden, who was the chairman of the board of one of the entities in this network that were deciding where these children should go, where their so-called sponsors were. But we found out they're not vetting the sponsors. Somebody's making a lot of money. These babies are even finding their way to, as you can imagine, you guys, and if you have children listening, just close their ears right now or send them to a different room. They're acting out sexually with babies. The babies are disappearing. The children are disappearing. We've had 800,000 children disappear. So my point is, Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, instead of slowing this down and making, you know, tightening things up, we have them on record saying they want to accelerate the movement of children and over the border. It's shocking and disgusting, but this is who's in charge right now.
Alex, you want to jump in?
Well, I'm just kind of speechless. It's so sad. It is so tragic. And look, the party, the candidates that pride themselves on caring about people, making promises to people, they're actually the group that believes life is cheap, life is expendable, sexual gratification, no matter how perverse, is the highest good of life. If you notice during the debate, and Sandy, I would love for you to comment on this, Trump and Kamala, Trump talked about positions and policies. Kamala talked about people and promises. You know, Kamala, during the debate, was constantly making all these blanket promises. I care about you. I'll give you this. There'll be money for that. Trump and all true conservatives, true constitutionalists, talk about policies, positions. And it's just an irony, and I pray the American people aren't gullible and fall for this, but the Democrats that present themselves as being all about the interest of people, actually, they use and expend people. And Sandy, what you're saying, I don't doubt it one bit.
Yes, you know, honestly, Alex, I could not hardly speak after that movie. I know that the movie that was in the theaters just a few months ago, which was excellent, child trafficking, mm-hmm. But this was actually real people, real children, real babies, real perpetrators, real so-called sponsors. And it was really almost more than I could take. They actually went into the fact that they're harvesting organs and that the traffickers, the sex traffickers of the world are now, America is the largest market. We're the largest market. That in itself, you know, and I thought to myself when I heard that, I thought, Lord, How can you let this continue? How can you even let us have, this is going to be really hard to hear, but I did think, how can you spare us as a nation? How can you? Well, look, we're not responsible for that. We believers in Christ who love him, but God knows what's happening. How can he let our nation continue with this kind of leadership? So it is a very upsetting thing. And yes, to your point on the debate, you were totally right about that. And a lot of what President Trump said got lost in the shuffle, because what they reported was his responses to Kamala, which they felt were inappropriate. I didn't think so. You know, I would just say this, it reminded me very much of when I was first learning to be on television when I was president of Concerned Women for America. And I used to debate James Carville, at least several times I did. And I never debated someone who was a complete liar. That's kind of new. Yeah. I had debated ideas and, you know, but I would say the issue would be presented and I'd say something and James would like, well, you know, but what he'd do was he'd present like not one lie, not two, not three, not four, not five. It was like a circle saw, as my mom used to say, and like a circle saw of lies. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, which one do I refute? I could argue about each of them, but then and it really messed me up. I didn't do well the first few times I debated with him because I could not correct all of the lies he told. There were too many of them, and it put me back on my heels. And I think that's what happened with President Trump.
By the way, you deserve crowns in heaven for having even been in the same room with James Carville. December of 23, James Carville on the show with Bill Maher said, and I quote, Christians are a greater threat to America than Al-Qaeda. He was talking about Christians, Trump supporters. I mean, really, James Carville? But yeah, I mean, machine gunning, just spewing out lies, and you just don't even know where to jump on the train. That's one of the tactics of the Democrats these days. And Carville, you know, I just wonder how these people are going to face God one day. Besides, well, you know, giving their lives for the murder of the unborn, giving their lives for empowering terrorists, standing against Israel, you know, stealing lives, human trafficking, but just lying in general. Sandy, for you debating James Carville, God bless you. I respected you anyway, but my respect level for you just went up exponentially.
Well, I won't go into this, but you will appreciate, Alex. I figured things out a little bit, and I was on Crossfire with Tucker. Tucker was hosting, and James was the other host. And it was, it was bad. I can't go into all of it. It would take too long. Let me just say the same thing happened, but for some reason, God gave me something clever to say. I just said, James, you're dripping, you're drooling, because he was foaming at the mouth. And then he just blew up, because this is a live show. So the next day, Rush Limbaugh started calling me the CWA babe because of what I... and James would never be on with me after that. So that's how that story ended. But he might have had me in mind when he said Christians are more of a threat than... I don't know.
Well, Sandy, what have you got? What's cooking for Sandy Rios 24/7? Your podcast. You got anything on the menu? I'm sorry,
it's getting close to lunchtime.
This is terrible. It's all food metaphors as we close in on lunch. What do you have scheduled for this week?
For this week, I went down to the film festival. I was there with, there were a lot of J6ers there, but there were films about a lot of things, as I just told, sex trafficking and all that. But so I got 9 different interviews, and they were wonderful. But what I did not expect to get when I got there, there was a young man who, I think I just introduced myself to him. He was the photographer. I just really basically walked through the door, and he said, "Oh, I know who you are." And he said, "I have watched you for years, and you're a star on Right Wing Watch," which you guys all know what that is.
Yes.
Hi, Right Wing Watch. They're listening to us now.
I'm on Right Wing Watch.
Well, yeah. So Ed, and I are.
But I'm not as high up the ladder as you are.
Well, I don't know about that, but he did go back years following me, which was interesting. And then he told me that he was on the left, and he also said he was an atheist. And he said, I would really like to interview you. And I said, well, Patrick, I'd be happy to talk to you, but you just promise me that you will not edit my words. You will not take things out. You won't mess with it. Just please play or write what I say. He said, okay, I'll do that. So we spent an hour. The first half was about political scene. He asked me a lot of hard questions, direct questions, about like how could I reconcile President Trump's stand on abortion. And then the second half, we, not on purpose, but morphed to his faith and atheism. And it was, I'm playing both of those interviews this week. They'll be posted shortly.
Oh, he let you have the audio?
Oh, I didn't explain. I said, well, look, I want to interview you too, so how about we do it at the same time?
Oh,
so I'll set it up. Great. I'll capture it. You can capture it at the same time. So you hear him interviewing me, and then I ended up, it ends up being a conversation,
yeah.
Which he, you know, for both of us. So it was pretty remarkable. I did not expect that. And I don't know if Patrick would say this, maybe not yet, but I think it was a God moment. And I was very moved. I really liked him a lot. So that's that'll be aired this week. Monday we did a show about the debate and the shooting that we caught up on that a little bit.
Okay.
But these will be the next two. And then coming up, I interviewed Ashley Babbitt's mother, Mickey. Very, very moving interview. We both are moms who've lost our daughters. So we had kind of a unique conversation, I think. And I talked to a lot of other people. These stories are incredible. So I just would say to people, stay tuned to Sandy Reels 24/7, and hopefully we'll bring something good for you to listen to that will inspire you.
Well, it sounds like it was a God moment. And here's the thing. Not only did, you know, and I'll just ask our listeners, pray for Patrick. Because if God brought him, and I don't believe in those kind of coincidences, I believe God will arrange those kinds of intersections, that not only will God move in his life, but his listeners. I mean, hopefully there'll be a lot of people who will hear whatever it's a podcast or a show, whatever it is, that they will hear the conversation, respectful conversation that you had with him for those 2 hours. So just folks, pray for that kind of result from this.
You know, it reminds me, when I was on the radio in Chicago, there was a shock jock named Mankow. I don't know if any of you guys have heard of him.
Sure.
Mankow. Yeah. And so I got to know him, and I would never have had... what's the other creepy guy? The guy with the long hair.
Stern?
I would never have had Stern on my show. I would never have done that because
Howard Stern.
He's... Yeah. But I did have Mankow on because I had heard him, and I sensed that he could be... In fact, we talked about it. You got to be respectful on this show, and he was. And we got acquainted, and would you believe... I mean, he said horrible things, not on the show, but on his own show. He had me in to his studio to be on his show. Can you believe that? And later, he actually had a dramatic conversion to Christ.
Wow.
Mankow in the morning.
Mankow did?
He did. He had a dramatic conversion. And because it wasn't just because of, I'm not saying it was because of me. I'm sure I was part, but there were other people who were, you know, talking to him. God uses, you know.
Well, some plant, some water. I mean, that's a biblical principle. But listen, you were, first of all, I'm sure you were loving on the show. You were available. You were courageous. Some Christians would just not take the chance because you can get humiliated on those kinds of shows. I think you made the right call with Howard Stern. He's extremely vulgar. Would have been very, very difficult to get in but you went to a place that some Christians are not willing to go, and tip of the hat to you for doing that. And I believe God will use Christians, if they will be loving, if they will be bold in their faith, and if they will be courageous enough to risk going on programs like that, or even having conversations with people, sitting across a table and eating tacos with someone, you know, and being available to share your faith, I have no doubt that God used you in that process.
Well, I guess I think this should be true of all of us. And this, I just hate to say these things. I just would tell you that it's true that my heart goes out to the worst of the worst. It always does. I don't feel anger. I have anger at what they do, but except maybe Mayorkas. I maybe accept the exception here.
Right.
But God just places some people in my heart and draws me to them, and I can't help it. I just love on them, and I can't. I have to tell them. I have to tell them.
That's the heart. That's the heart of God, Sandy. That's Jesus ate with sinners. I mean, that's, and he was criticized for that, but his desire was to reach them. And that's just the heart of God is, I don't want to start preaching because I will. The heart of God loves sinners. And that's the heart of God in you. That's why you have a soft spot for them. And now listen, you know, we also know that God tips over tables. Money changer tables too. So sometimes it's hard not to get angry at a James Carville or Mayorkas or some of these others. But ultimately, we love and pray for our enemies, and we love them enough to speak the truth in love. So
yeah, I think sometimes too, God gives us a sense that there are some people who are actually open in spite of what they might say. And so that's maybe who he draws us to. I think Patrick, he probably wouldn't want to be on that list. He wouldn't like me saying this, but I kind of think that's happening with him. I think enough people are around him and have talked to him about God that he's closer than he thinks. And
yeah,
I just pray. Yeah. So anyway, did we get on the subject here, Fred?
I don't know. I don't know, but I like it when we drift into these kinds of waters. I think it helps our listeners, honestly, because. We hit the hard issues. You do. There's nothing wrong with talking about the fact that God is in control and God loves people and God uses us from the top of the list to the bottom in terms of the way man views it. God loves to use his people. To bring people to him. So.
Well, and I think the other thing too, I maybe bring is that God has power. You know, Jesus raised people from the dead.
Right.
The Holy Spirit said the same power that dwells within you raised Christ Jesus, the same power. And we just don't even recognize that sometimes. And even in what's happening in our world, all the stuff that's happening, God is bringing his power. Just look at the president, this proud man, the candidate for president now, former president, look at this proud man, how he has now been expressing that God has spared him. And he said after this last thing on the golf course that somebody asked him, why does he think he survived or something like
hey,
that?
Hey, we've got the sound. Would you
like
to hear it? Yeah, Sandy, the former president, was on with Greg Gutfeld on Fox last night after attending a rally in New York. Funny you mentioned this because they got talking about the dangers of the job, being a candidate, being a president. Want you to hear what the former president had to say about that last night. Cut number 10.
How do you process that?
Well, number one, do I have a choice?
Yeah.
Right? What am I going to do, right?
Yeah.
We have a choice. But, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking a lot about it over the last period of time since Butler. Mm-hmm. And being president is a very dangerous job. Because with a race car driver, that's a dangerous job. It's like 0.1% die.
Mm-hmm.
With a bull rider, I think bull riding looks pretty scary, right?
Yeah.
It's a little bit more than that die.
Mm-hmm.
With a president, what is it, 6% or 7%? It's the most dangerous profession there is. So if you want to be president, I have a lot of friends that wanted to run. They're thinking about maybe not doing it. But here's the only good thing is that it's always a consequential president that gets shot at.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, so far, I've been very lucky, or something is greater than all of us.
Ooh.
Something is up there. Someone is up there maybe watching over us.
I think he's voting for you.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, what's your thoughts about that, Sandy? And we're almost out of time here, but we'll let you kind of close out the thoughts on this subject.
In another exchange, he did say with someone, I think God, maybe God wants, I don't know, maybe God wants me to be president. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And so the acknowledgement of God, the point for all of us is that God is at work. Oh my goodness. He is at work. Do not be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Our powerful God is at work. And so we just have to open our eyes to it and wait for the next move and be faithful. Be faithful. Get in the Word and be faithful. That's my word.
And be ready. Like the children of Israel to leave Egypt. Get ready. Be ready. When the Lord moves, you'll be ready to move. And you'll be ready to speak.
So. Yes. And it's going to be a thrilling ride. Trust me. I know it sounds impossible because we've got so much disaster ahead of us. And sometimes I don't feel the way I'm saying now, but I know that when we see God and we see His power up close, we won't mind really having gone through all of this. And of course, we haven't seen anything yet. It's going to be a glorious ride to be in His presence and to feel His power. So don't be afraid.
And it's a great time to be alive. I mean, it sometimes doesn't feel that way, but we could see God supernaturally defend Israel in the coming years. I mean, in a major way, we could live to see that. We could live to see a great awakening. There's so much that could happen, and you know, as the Bible says, when it's dark, then His people will shine like stars in the sky. So. All right, Sandy.
I love that.
Thank you so much, Sandy Rios. Appreciate
you
being with us.
Let's see you, Sandy.
Thank you.
All right, folks. I hope you were encouraged by that. Guess what? We have 25 more minutes of great radio. We're going to take a 5-minute break for news. And when we come back, I'm going to let Fred Jackson talk some more. I'm going to let Tony. Oh, Fred, you're going. Chris Woodward. Tony, we'll let Tony talk some more and Dr. McFarland. 5-minute break for news, and we will be right back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.